In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Word of God for our final midweek Advent service under the general theme, as we prepare for Christmas Eve, the wonder of it all, is recorded in the book of the prophet Joel. We read in the second chapter, verses 30 to 32. God says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Honestly, this a thought. When last summer I chose the text for these three midweek services that we have been looking at these past weeks under the theme, The Wonder of It All. It didn't occur to me at that time that, according to the Mayan calendar, the world is going to come to an end the day after tomorrow. Interestingly enough, the text I picked for this evening is a text where God says, through the prophet Joel, that the world also is going to end. God's prophet is not quite so specific about the day, though. I saw a good cartoon, I thought, the other day about this whole thing about Bible prophecy versus these prophetic visions of men. There was a guy who was watching TV and somebody on there was talking about things the Bible says. And laughing, the guy says, what a bunch of superstitious nonsense. And then next panel, the same guy sees a newscaster say, the Mayan calendar says the world is going to end on December 21st. And the guy with a horrified look on his face says, oh no, that's really going to happen? Go figure. We have looked these past 2 weeks at the wonder of God's power and the wonder of God's promise. And this evening, we're going to look at the wonder of God's judgment. And we see that in leading Joel to write these words, that God's prophet is specific, not about the date, but about two other things. First of all, he's specific that there will be signs so everyone will know that judgment has come. And secondly, there is salvation for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. The words that Joel speaks for God had as their first application the judgment that Judah was under because they had turned away from the Lord to idolatry. But it also had the future application of the coming and future end of the world. We have been talking about that for quite a few weeks now. We talked about the end of the world in the weeks of end time at the end of the church year. And that's been one of our emphases as we've prepared ourselves to welcome Jesus into Bethlehem, as we prepare our hearts to welcome Him in word and sacrament, and as we prepare to welcome Jesus when He comes again at the end of the world. And we remind ourselves once again this evening, what is that preparation? It is repentance. The wonder of God's judgment at the end of the world will be immediately preceded by signs in creation. Originally, God created the sun and He created the moon as markers and keepers of time. But in the wonder of His judgment, those same markers of ongoing time are going to mark the coming of the end of time and the beginning of eternity. At that time of God's judgment, the greater light and the lesser light that God created will mark and be signs to everyone that the judgment is come. All of the prophets were speaking God's word. Think of Joel and think of John the Baptist. Think of our preparation in repentance for the coming of the Savior. Now think about this whole business with the Mayans and other doomsday, so-called doomsday scenarios or human ideas about the end of the world. Did you ever notice, or have you really heard a lot about Friday, that God is coming in judgment at that time? Have you heard anybody say what this really means is the end of man's time of grace? What this means is that all people are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Do we hear any of that in the man-made end of the world scenarios? No, it's just the world is going to come to an end. And the reason for it, what's going to take place after it, what we're going to be involved in with it, is never really mentioned. But in the word of God's judgment, in the wonder of God's judgment, we see how that all fits together. The end of the world, so-called doomsday by men, is never going to be something independent from God's plan or God's purpose or God's action for carrying it out. You see, in spite of what people are saying about Friday, the end of the world is not the issue. It's why God is ending the world is the issue. What's going to happen to all human beings at the end of the world is the issue. What is going to follow these signs in the sun and the moon? That is really the issue. And on this last midweek service, we want and will emphasize the second part of the wonder of God's judgment. Because that ties in so directly, His purpose and His plan for that judgment fits in now as we prepare and get closer to the celebration of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. As we think again of hearing His word and receiving the sacrament, as we get ready in case Jesus returns tonight. And the wonder of God's judgment for us is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what the end of the world means for us. That's what judgment day means for us. When we see those signs in the sun and the moon, it means that we are saved in our Lord Jesus Christ, not just in time, but also in eternity. And so rather than be so concerned about the date of when things are going to end, it's much more important to focus on where I want to be and what that means when the end comes. It's kind of like when people want to argue about where hell is, it's good to remind them that they ought to be more concerned about whether or not they're going to be there and how they can escape eternal damnation in hell. Joel is in full agreement with all the apostles and all the prophets when it comes to the meaning of the wonder of God's judgment. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you catch in our lesson reading for this evening, when the Apostle Paul wrote that letter to the Romans, here he quotes that passage from Joel in reference to the Gentiles to assure them that Jew and Gentile alike, through the preaching of God's Word that creates faith, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I can illustrate the meaning of what that is to call on the name of the Lord this way. When your house is on fire, you call on the name of the fire department. When your computer doesn't work, you call on the name of the geek squad or one of your children. You call on them because they have the reputation for being able to take care of the problem. That's what somebody's name means. It's their reputation, it's their quality, their ability that they have revealed about themselves so that you know that and can use it when you need it. Think back to Catechism. Remember, what does the name of the Lord mean? It means everything God has revealed about Himself in Scripture. God has revealed about Himself that He is a just and loving God who has declared us and the world not guilty of our sins because Jesus is our sacrifice and substitute. On Judgment Day, when the sun and the moon are turning dark and the world and the universe is coming apart, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We won't be destroyed. We won't be burned in the fire and destruction of the earth. We won't be damned eternally in hell because we didn't use the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where it ties in with Christmas. The name that Joseph and Mary were to give to their son is Jesus. Because that name is very revealing. You are to give him the name Joshua, or Jesus in Greek, because he will save his people from their sins. The child who is to be born in you will be called the Son of God. So those names are really revealing about the reputation that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so He so loved the world that He sent His Son Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. The wonder of God's judgment ties in with that wonder of His love that we sing about in the Christmas carol. It fits in with His joy to the world because the Lord has come to get us ready for the wonder of judgment so that we can stand, we can lift our heads, and we can meet the Lord in faith and in His salvation. It is that birth of our Savior by the Virgin, God with us, that gives us hope and joy and peace in the wonder of God's judgment. I think it's sad today that so many people consider the end of the world, and in some cases, even in connection with Jesus as something that you have to know exactly when that's going to happen. When I served in Casa Grande, Arizona in the late 70s and early 80s, there was a group of people down in Tucson who sold all of their material goods and went to the top of Mount Lemmon to wait for the Lord Jesus to return on a particular day that they had decided He was coming. As far as I know, they still may be there waiting. And I guess if they are, they've got to jump on Friday. The Bible does not tell us when that is going to be. He doesn't tell us to sell everything we have and go to the top of some earthly mountain. But Joel does say that we need to go to a mountain. That there is a mountain where there is salvation as we wait for Jesus to come. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. The wonder of God's judgment is not about knowing the day it's going to happen. It's about knowing how to be a survivor. And how to be a survivor is to call on the name of the Lord. To live on Mount Zion. To live in Jerusalem. Because that is the mountain and the city where God is going to deliver the survivors. The church, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is true Mount Zion. It is the true Jerusalem, where God will find His people whom He has called, so that when those signs that show everyone that judgment has come, that our hearts will not be filled with fear or dread or gloom, but will be filled with hope and with joy. This evening you notice that our worship folders are blue. Some of you know that many congregations have gone to using blue pyramids during Advent. Blue is the liturgical color, and we have it with our baptisms. Blue is the liturgical color of hope. When we bring our children to that baptismal font, we give them hope. When we think of our Lord Jesus coming again, we think of hope. And we think of that message of peace that the angels brought to the world, that there is now peace on earth because God's favor rests on all men. It is in that favor of God resting on us, to which the Holy Spirit has called us, that we as believers will be survivors. That we will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. We are ready to welcome Jesus into His manger. We lift our eyes and we lift our hearts to God's Old Testament promises because we are living in their New Testament fulfillment. With a repentant heart and Christ's name on our lips, we prepare to meet and to celebrate Jesus Christ, the wonder of it all. Amen.